Hello, everybody. Dave Hodges here, host of the Common Sense Show. We're glad you could join us. We are the show that's freeing America one enslaved mind at a time, and we have a real controversial show for you today. The Doug and Dave Intel Report is going to interview Tim Alberino about the UFO revelations that have been coming out with whistleblower reports. Now, we're not going to pass judgment. We're just going to present evidence and let our guest, Tim Alberino, give us his opinion. He is an expert in the field. What's going on with all this 8-foot aliens in Las Vegas, Air Force intel guys coming out with these reports? Pretty crazy. You're going to stay tuned, and you're going to find this to be, I think, very, very interesting. First, a word from our sponsors. You know that the food supply is shrinking. The cattle supply is shrinking. The access to food is shrinking. The inflation is growing. You need to get into the storable food business for your family. In other words, you need to start collecting. Now, right now, My Patriot Supply has a 3-month special, $200 off, and you can buy in increments of the 3 months to get the savings all the way through if you choose to have more. Restaurant quality food, 25-year shelf life, 2,000 calories per day. Go to foodwithdave.com. That's foodwithdave.com. And also, you know the banks can take your money. Dodd-Frank 2010, don't let them take your retirement. Don't let them take your bank accounts. Keep operating capital in the bank. Get them out. Let Noble Gold back it up. Go to DaveHodgesGold.com, DaveHodgesGold.com, and I'll send you out a free information packet. Now, the following interview is going to be divided up into a couple of different parts, but we're going to present part one today with Tim Alberino, and we're going to join that interview slightly in progress, and you're not going to want to miss a word that Tim has to say. Hello, everybody. Dave Hodges here, and this is the Doug and Dave Intel Report, as you can see, with my broadcast partner, Doug Thornton, and we're coming to you on the Common Sense Show, and we're really glad to be with you. Also, our special guest is Tim Alberino, and we had promoted this show as something where we would have a point-counterpoint, a live debate about the efficacy of the Air Force statement from an alleged intel officer who is a combat veteran, decorated. We found inconsistencies in the resume that don't fit, but and Doug and I were willing to say that story is total nonsense, and now something has been released this evening. And on Channel 8 News, where George Knapp broadcast from. And Tim Alberino is with us, and we're going to play the tape, and we're going to let Tim narrate, and Doug and I will sit here and take a healthy helping of crow. Tim?
Well, it was brought to my attention just about an hour ago that the Channel 8, as you said, in Las Vegas, just released a story regarding an event that apparently took place on the night, early morning of the night of April 31st, early morning of May 1st. And it was this object that fell out of the sky, apparently, or came down and landed in these people's backyard. And you can actually see the object on camera. You see it's a green light, and it comes down, and then the police go and investigate because there was a 911 call, as you'll see in the video, and they called 911, this family, and they reported a craft landed in their backyard. And not only that, but 8 to 10 foot tall entities came out of the craft. They had big black shining eyes, which was interesting because I think they said they had black eyes, but they had large eyes and other features, which I find very intriguing. So that's pretty much it in a nutshell. And that story just broke.
Yeah, it did. And fortunately, we were able to preview it before we came on the air, so Doug and I didn't die of a heart attack. and look, I'm not making fun of this, but Doug and I were so adamant that this story was fake. By the way, Glenn Beck came out with something on this today, not the recording we're going to see here in a minute, but he came out and said, is this real UFO stuff or is this a distraction?
Well, I mean, to be completely honest, When we first covered the Air Force guy coming out talking about the intact and crashed, what was it, Tim, that he said, non-human origin craft? You know,
non-human origin technical vehicles.
Yeah, me and Dave did our best to juggle this back and forth and said, hey, look, you know, the government's lied to us for so many years, decades, and we know there's an agenda. There's always an agenda. And this is obviously part of an agenda because this guy, to me, it just seems too perfect. And, you know, me and Tim talked later that night for probably about 45 minutes, and we had a little debate back and forth about this. And I said, hey, look, let's get on the Intel report. Let's do it live. Let's debate this. You're the expert. We're going to be the skeptics, and let's challenge each other. And it was going to be a fun, sparse debate. And then, what, Tim, 5 minutes before we come on, you tell me I got to look up Las Vegas Alien on YouTube. I type it in, and I can't believe what I just watched. Now, as someone who's former law enforcement, I reviewed body cam footage. I reviewed a bunch of footage. And what I'm seeing is things that I can't explain. And you obviously see a light in the sky and what the operators are there having to deal with. Now, so everybody understands the context, this happened April 30th, May 1st time frame.
April 30th, the night of April 30th, the morning of May 1st.
Five weeks ago.
So the reason why it was released so much later is most likely because this is FOIA'd body cam footage, and that goes through an approval process, and that's why it came out a month later. So without further ado, gents, we can play this. Now, as we play this, if we want to stop and comment, just let me know. I'll pause it and we'll comment about what we're seeing.
Okay.
It is the police call everybody will be talking about. Thanks for joining us here at 6 o'clock. I'm Denise Valdez.
I'm Brian Loftus. A family says something crashed into their backyard, prompting them to call 911, saying they saw creatures walking around.
Our 8 News Now investigators digging into this for weeks now. And tonight, our David Charnes with the video you will only see on 8 News Now. David?
Brian, Denise, sources telling the 8 News Now investigators that several agencies believe something landed or crashed. Whether it was not humans or not, it certainly scared the people living on this property. Now, before we show you that video, listen to their call for help.
There's like an 8-foot person beside it, and another one's inside, and it has big eyes and looking at us, and it's still there.
Okay, where is this on your property?
In my backyard. I swear to God, this is not a joke. This is actually we terrified of it.
So there's two people or two subjects that are in your backyard?
Correct, and they're very large. They're like 8 foot, 9 feet, 10 foot. I don't know. They look like aliens to us. Big eyes. They have big eyes. Okay. Like I can't explain it. And big mouth. They're shiny eyes, and they're not human. They're 100% they're not human.
Tim, you had made a reference a while ago, pre-air, that they had shiny eyes. Now, what this reminds me of is eye shine that you see from animals. If they have large eyes, and it didn't say they were all black eyes, but it doesn't not say that. But the fact that it says large, shiny eyes, to me, is probably most likely eye shine reflection from maybe the floodlights are in the back. They didn't say they were glowing. And they did say that they were not human and 8 to 10 foot tall. So right there, can you comment on that?
Not really. I mean, I have no idea what exactly these people might have seen. Maybe they're seeing what are called the tall grays, which have the big almond-shaped eyes. Maybe they're seeing nothing. I think we should say that right out of the gates. Maybe it could be a hoax. People saw something come down from the sky. That's for sure. But did it actually land in these people's backyards? I don't know. But you have to keep in mind that it's dark. Number one, it's dark. It's nighttime. And the craft is lit. So whatever they're seeing in silhouette, basically, because these things are presumably standing next to or in front of the craft. So if you have an object in front of if it's dark outside and you have an object or a person standing in front of an object that is very bright, you're not going to see a whole lot of detail unless that person is also illuminated somehow from the front. So maybe the porch lights or something like that. But I would imagine that whatever they saw, they probably didn't see it really clearly because of those circumstances. Yeah. But the shining eyes, if they have really big eyes, it wouldn't surprise me, as you said, if light is reflecting from those eyes. Or maybe they are shining.
All right, let's continue.
Okay.
Well, the 8 News Now investigators obtaining video as officers then responded to the call you just heard. You'll see the officers also saw something in the sky that night. But the big question is, what was it? And is it all connected?
Leave her alone.
It's almost midnight on May 1st when a Las Vegas Metro police officer's body cam catches this. Something flashing low in the sky.
911 emergency.
Minutes later.
There's like an 8-foot person beside it. And another one's inside and it has big eyes and looking at us. And it's still there.
Someone calls 911 reporting two large figures in their backyard.
No, I'm so nervous right now.
The 8 News Now investigators obtaining another officer's video as he's sent to the Northwest Valley home.
I have butterflies, bro. Everyone saw a shooting star, then these people say there's aliens in their backyard.
By now, it's more than an hour after that bright light. Officers meeting up with the caller and his family.
What'd you see?
It was like a big creature.
A big creature?
Yeah, like a long 10 feet tall.
Hey, pause it for a second, Doug. Okay, if they're at the scene of the incident, then where's the craft? Where's the impressions on the ground? Why aren't we seeing that with...
Well, that's the front yard. They proceed to go into the backyard, but they shut the camera off because of private property.
Okay, and that's what I was going to bring up also, too. Forget the private property crap. I think that's nonsense. I think there's something there they don't want us to see.
Well, it could very well be, but if that's department policy, then they won't void that. One other thing, when you saw the bright object falling, it wasn't like a meteor, though it glowed much like what you would see meteors as they fall. I've seen meteors fall that color. It was slow. It kind of serpentined in the air like a craft that was losing control. It was veering from right to then left, and then it proceeded to go downward as well. I thought that was very interesting.
Let's also point out that this could be a flare or something like that, and these people totally made this whole thing up.
Yeah.
Now, it is important to understand the context. This is not after the revelations that we're going to be talking about here in a little bit. This is before. So this is before the whistleblower incident. And this is, you know, the first of May, basically. First hours of May 1st. So obviously something fell out of the sky. What it was exactly, I don't think we could make that determination from a green light.
Right. All right. We'll continue.
One of my partners said they saw something fall out of the sky, too, so that's why I'm kind of curious. Did you see anything land in your backyard? Or?
They see like a big, that's what they say. They see like a big, something with light.
Look what he does with his hands here. You see that? Did you see that? You see how that he goes like this with his hands? A big, so he's making the shape of a saucer. Not like some big rock or something. He's depicting what I would have expected. If this is like an alien craft, it's probably going to be a saucer-shaped craft. And that's exactly the motion he's doing with his hands.
Yeah, I don't get the sense when I watch.
What I saw right now, I do.
I was just going to say, I don't detect insincerity here either.
That's true. They're very nonchalant about this extraordinary incident.
I think they're concerned. That's my then based on the phone call too, but I don't see any attempts to embellish. Just pretty straightforward account and something that they just don't see every day. And they're a little freaked out by it.
Sorry, guys.
Well, you know, they said creature. You know, everybody knows what a gray alien looks like, I would think, at this point in time. And I have a problem when people can't use descriptive words, but these are teenagers.
Yeah.
Reporting what they saw. They get the height based off of whatever is around them in the backyard. So they're using that as reference. But, you know, other than that, Tim, Dave, we really can't gain very much more information until more comes out. So,
well, like I said, they're very nonchalant about it because perhaps they're in a state of shock. I mean, you would expect somebody to have a little bit of shock. People who see UFOs close up and personal, sometimes there's a little bit of shock afterwards. It's not like they're running around screaming, oh, my God, did you see that? Did you see that? Sometimes that's the case. But if you really have an up close like I did. I had that up-close encounter that I've talked about many times in Brook Park, Ohio. I could hit it with a rock. We weren't running around screaming and yelling. We literally couldn't say anything. Our jaws were dropped. We could not. We could hardly formulate words right after that incident. We just remained quiet for a long time, me and my brother-in-law. So I wouldn't expect, you know, if this was a hoax, you might expect them to be running around shouting, did you see that? Did you see that? And, you know, just really animated. But the fact that they're so, as I said, nonchalant is very interesting to me.
Well, and this is a nice area. You know, this isn't Bubba's Trailer Park. This isn't Ted Kaczynski out in the middle of, you know, Lincoln, Montana. You know, this is a nice residential area, nice cars. You know, the family seems to be well put together, just from first appearances. So you have to take the word of what you're seeing when you first come on scene, because you're getting firsthand knowledge from witness testimony. From there, you know, I mean, like what you said, though, I would love to have known, because if it was me and I was investigating this and I'm the first guy on scene, you're going to take me right to where this thing crashed. I'm going to be taking pictures. I'm going to be doing everything I possibly can. But let me ask you this, Tim. It obviously didn't crash because it left. So you think it might have, let's go ahead and assume it was some sort of a craft that it lost control somehow. It made a soft landing. Dude gets out, you know, kicks it a few times and it restarts back up and they zip off. Or what are you thinking?
Or they want, or some sort of an intentional, let's assume for a moment that it's real, that these people actually saw what they say they saw. It could have been an intentional situation where they want to be seen. Or it could be, like you said, there's some sort of a malfunction. They had to land briefly to reset something, who knows, and then take off. But, it is extraordinary. You don't often find news reports like this. I mean, they're very far and few between, stuff like this, you actually see something coming down in the sky and then you got a 911 call and police investigating. That's all very interesting.
And right in George Knapp's backyard, too.
Yeah, I was just going to add that here. It's George Knapp Station, so to speak. And that's why I think they're covering it, because they cover stuff like this.
All right, you want to press forward?
Yeah, I'll say this. The description, I think, is truthful from what they think they've seen.
I agree.
All right.
Police walk into the backyard to investigate, but Metro blacked out that part of the video because it's considered private property. What's clear? They're taking this call seriously.
Hey, this might sound like a really dumb question, but did you guys see anything fall out of the sky?
Asking others what they saw.
I would normally discount it as nothing. However, seeing as one of my partners said they saw it too, only reason I'm actually investigating it further.
That investigation turning up no concrete answers as of Wednesday. Whatever or whoever fell into that yard, long gone within minutes.
Oh, hey. If those 9-foot beings come back, don't call us, all right? Deal with it yourself. That, I ain't dealing with that.
So, yeah, this is quite weird, Brian was saying as we're watching this story. Now, we've been in contact with the family in that video, and as you heard in that 911 call, they seem very reasonable and honestly quite scared, as you heard them in the call. No, they don't seem impaired in any way. And whatever crashed by the time the police got there was gone. But sources say that there's really no dispute. Something was in their yard. Exactly what? We do not know.
I mean, it's so interesting. So, like, the Metro officer sees something, the neighbors see something. I mean, so what could it be?
Well, we know that there are obviously a lot of military bases around this area. George Knapp covers a lot of that stuff for us on the 80s Now Investigators. We're showing you drone video from above that area. And we know, of course, Creech not far away, Nellis Air Force Base not far. I checked in with them. They say they are not involved at all, and we are waiting to hear from the Pentagon as well.
And you talk to these people. It seemed completely legitimate to you. And do you have any personal thoughts on maybe what it was?
Right. So it seems from talking to our sources that something happened. There was obviously some flash in the sky. A lot of people saw it that night on the night of April 30th, early in the morning on May 1st. Did that exact thing land in their yard? I don't know. But these people said they saw some SUV circling the area. Could this have been some piece of equipment that malfunctioned? Maybe they saw something and then someone came. I can't believe we're talking about this.
Right.
Someone came and retrieved it from the backyard in the SUV. We don't know. This all comes as
a high-level intelligence officer. You know, this latest variable they put into this, van circling around and so forth. I wonder if it's not controlled by it's a large drone, and we're looking at some form of AI.
Well, here's the thing: when you have some sort of a testimony, or any type of sporadic statement like, oh, we also saw, you know, an SUV driving around the area. How many different, you know, plausibilities could there be for that? I mean, I'm always observing the skies in my area, and I'm up all night long. You guys know that I typically go to bed at like 3 or 4 in the morning. So, you know, and I'm in and out all the time. So if I saw something falling from the sky, I will probably go and get in my excursion and go drive around until I can find it. So, or you could go the dark route and say, you know, it's OGA, other government agency, men in black driving around trying to shush people up and scoot the aliens back into their craft. Or it could be drone related. But, you know, once again, Dave, to my knowledge, which I'll say is limited in scope to aviation, but from to my knowledge, we don't have any type of drones. We don't have any type of Harrier jets that can make a landing in someone's backyard, or helicopters that can make a landing in someone's backyard.
Yeah.
Quietly that you are not going to see. And especially if it's a helicopter, because you're going to have rotor rush. And we don't run blue lights, these bluish green lights. We don't do that. I mean, at night you're going to have a red and green light because that's what FAA says you have to have. But other than that, I mean, we don't broadcast everybody in the world what we have. If it's a jet landing, you're going to hear that because of the turbo. So I don't know, man. I don't think it was a drone. I'll say this, between a stealth helicopter, a Harrier jet, and a drone, the drone is the more plausible. But having a drone so big, and once again, with that type of coloration, that's strange. If the drone was on fire and had some sort of a malfunction, it probably wouldn't be burning a bluish green. It probably would look like it was on fire, and you would have a smoke trail. You know, so it just, I have more questions than I do answers. Tim?
I don't know that there's anything more to say about it. We have no idea what this might have been. Again, it is intriguing. Something, we saw something come out of the sky, fall out of the sky, but that could be anything. But with the other details, I think this is very intriguing, and I tend to believe that these guys, as Dave said, these guys are telling the truth as they experienced it, as they perceived it. And again, if it was a hoax, which it could be, if it was a hoax, I would expect them to be much more hysterical. But they, as I said, they were a little bit apathetic, very calm, which to me conforms to a state of shock. And I certainly would be in a state of shock if I saw what they saw.
The kid on the phone, I took his statements in the light of, I can't believe I'm saying this to you, but it's true. Mm-hmm. Right? You know, then he offered a qualifier. Well, you know, we're not this or that or the other.
Well, and the officer goes to say something similar when he stops a random pedestrian and says, "Hey, look, I can't believe I'm saying this. My partner also saw something falling out of the sky." And in a cop's judgment, you know, this is going to be kind of skewed when I say this, but for a cop to just come right out and say, "Oh, by the way, I saw aliens and Bigfoot." All right, I had a guy in my department when I worked in Pennsylvania, and he was that guy. He was the alien guy. We're like, he seen like 3 or 4 aliens and saw him land in the middle of a highway. And, you know, you get made fun of, you get put on all the bad shifts because it is like, you know, or at this point in time, we can't trust you to really tell the truth, and you're going to exaggerate. And in our line of work, that's not good. Ask the FBI because they do it all the time. So, you know, I mean, it's a career risk to just come right out and say, "Oh, by the way, I saw a light in the sky. It's aliens." Yeah, everyone's going to make fun of you at the watering hole. So for two cops to be mingling back and forth saying, like, "Did you really see something fall out of the sky? Here's my body cam footage to prove it." Okay, now we got to start asking people questions. So I get a little validation to that.
You know, I had the experience. I'm out in my semi-lighted driveway in Central Phoenix at the time, shooting baskets, and I saw the Phoenix lights. They flew down I-17, and I was about 4 miles from where we lived at the time. And I didn't know what to make of it. I just know everything got quiet. Lights or stars that I could see disappeared. Then they reappeared. And I was able to track, because of the disappearance of lights, where this craft was going. Now, later, I was teaching a sociology class at an Air Force base, and one of the radar operators at this base tracked it. And he and I talked privately about it. And he said, yeah, you saw it. But I got to tell you my response. That's why I brought this up. I thought, how the hell do I go in and tell my wife what I just saw? She's going to think she married a lunatic. That was my first response. And I went and told her, and I waited about an hour. I took a shower, came down, said, you're not going to believe what I saw. She goes, I think I know. It's on the news.
All right, so let's move on to the Air Force, the intel agent. Tim, he came out and he said that there were non-human entities, several different species, that there were multiple different craft intact, some that were very old, some that have been found by other nations. And I want to go through this article because it was on Debrief. They're the ones who talked about it.
That's when the story broke, right? It was on Debrief by Leslie Keene.
Right. And so
you do realize, by the way, Doug, just to insert this piece of data here, you do realize that Leslie Keene, the woman who broke this story, she's the one who broke the story back in 2017 in the New York Times regarding the Pentagon's secret UFO program, which basically kicked off all of this cascading disclosure events in the news that we've been witnessing for 3-4 years.
No, I didn't.
So that's,
I didn't know
that's
that.
It's important. I think that's an important piece of information.
So you think there's credibility with her then?
I think this woman is very credible. I think she's a great journalist. I don't know. She's obviously being fed information. People are coming to her. But this individual, David Grush, he was on the Aero team. He worked on the UAP task force, the government's task force. But he was also an officer in the National Geospatial Intelligence Agency and the National Reconnaissance Office. So this guy has deep intelligence ties. He was high up in these organizations. He's not just a pencil pusher. He's high up in these organizations. And he comes out, he blows the whistle. And the first contention by a lot of people is, well, how can you do this? How can this guy be still alive, basically? Which I think is a legitimate question. But we have to realize that we are living in a new reality. We are living in a reality in which UFOs and talk of extraterrestrial life, interdimensional life, is becoming common fare in the mainstream media. This is a new world. People aren't giggling anymore about this topic. Journalists are taking it serious. The most prestigious newspapers and news organizations in the world are now taking this serious. We have Congress investigating. It's out in the open. The Pentagon has admitted, as we've said ad nauseum on your program in the past, that UFOs are real. So we know that the controversy is over. UFOs are real. And we've had declarations his name just escaped me, the physicist who said that he's handled materials from Bob these Lazar. Craft that are, I'm sorry?
You have Bob Lazar.
No, not Bob Lazar. His name will come to me in a moment. He's handled materials that are materials from vehicles that were not made on Earth, basically, paraphrasing what he said. And so this is obviously this guy, he blows the whistle in this environment. So this environment never existed before. It never existed before. If you reverse the clock and go 10, 15, 20 years into the past, he'd be dead. I have no question. He would have never gotten to the whistleblower position. He would have died. They would have killed him. And I'm very confident about that. If you go back 20 years, especially and beyond. But because of this new environment, it's a totally different scene at this point. And so I think we should probably be expecting whistleblowers at this point in time. There is now cover. Cover exists. Congress is not waving this away as they would have decades ago, or even just a handful of years ago. When this guy, he brought his documents, which he can't obviously show them because he'd go to jail. They're classified. But he brought them to Congress. He delivered the proof in terms of the documentation that he was given. He brought it to Congress. And what's really important to understand is this guy did work for Aero. He worked for the All Domain Anomaly Resolution Office. And the reason why he became privy to this information, because in the course of his investigation, he was hitting this wall because he couldn't, when he was trying to find out about crash retrievals, he was hearing rumors about it. He hit a wall. He said they were not allowed to be read in to the program. So it was made clear to him that the program existed and they weren't going to be read into it. And so you have to take his position. Let's assume he's honest. All right. I don't know anything about him other than what's been published, but let's assume he's honest and he really is trying to investigate UFOs. Maybe he's excited about it. Maybe he's really, really serious about his job with Aero. And he wants to take this track and investigate the possibility of crash retrievals. And he's getting stonewalled and maybe threatened, probably threatened. In fact, he did say there was a report somewhere in the reporting that he came forward because he was getting threatened by private contractors, exactly who you would expect him to get threatened by the way, private contractors, because they're the ones who have the purview of if you go down to, you know, probably not anymore, but back before George Knapp blew the whistle on this with Bob Lazar, if you went to Area 51, you would encounter, if you tried to walk onto the base, who would you encounter? You would encounter guys in fatigues or in black uniforms. Who would they be? Would they be U.S. military? No, they would be private contractors. So, and in all the reporting about these guys, all of the leaks that have come out and people's encounters with these guys on these bases, they're very, very aggressive, very aggressive. And so it wouldn't surprise me, it wouldn't shock me if his story is true, that he was being threatened by private contractors. He's being certainly stonewalled when trying to investigate the crash retrievals, because as I've said on your show before, the Aero and the other UAP investigative bodies that have been formulated over the last handful of years, it's all a dog and pony show. So is the Congress's investigation into UFOs. They're only going to be allowed to know certain things that fit into this new narrative about UAPs, but they're never going to get the crash retrieval information. They're never going to get to the abductions. They're never going to get to the reverse engineering and all of that. They're not going to be given access to those programs or knowledge about them. And so, again, assuming that this guy is being honest, assuming that he's telling the truth, and he may not be, assuming he is, this is exactly what I would expect, how I would expect this to play out. He's getting stonewalled, and then he has friends in the intelligence community who come to him privately and tell him this is all true. They can't talk about it. He's not allowed to be read into the program and so forth. And again, you combine this with legitimate threats from these private security operations, and it explains why he would come forth. He feared for his life. This is a new environment. It's an environment that's friendly now to and open to this discussion, which was not the case a few years ago. Now it is. And so there's a new environment for whistleblowers. He can go straight to Congress. He can go straight to the whatever the body in Congress, I forgot the name, that's investigating UFOs with Gildebrandt. He can go straight to those people. He can put the documents on their desk and say, here they are, protect me. That did not exist before. It does exist now. And he can go right to the media. The media before would have buried this story. Now they're not burying it anymore. So the conditions are such now that allow for a whistleblower. This was not the case. And I think it's also important to note that just, I believe, last week, about a week ago, NASA had their first hearing on the topic of UAPs, of UFOs. NASA announced some time ago that they were putting together a task force to investigate UAPs. They had their first hearing the other day. And what did NASA say? This is what they said right out of the gates. Dan Evans, who's the study director at the hearing, here's what he said. Quote, I want to emphasize this loud and proud, that there is absolutely no convincing evidence for extraterrestrial life associated with UAPs. So there's your official narrative. That is the government narrative right there. The whistleblower's narrative is the opposite, is antithetical to that narrative. So you have dueling narratives. You have the official narrative, and NASA's definitely the official narrative here. This is the organization that most Americans would assume is gonna blow the lid on the existence of aliens, is gonna reveal the truth that we're not alone in the universe. They come out just a week prior to the whistleblower. A week prior, and we know that the whistleblower had already been in conversation, that Grush had already been in conversation with George Knapp weeks prior to doing this interview. So they probably knew he was coming. They preempt him with this NASA hearing, and they put out their emphasized statement. Loud and proud, he said. There's no evidence, convincing evidence for extraterrestrial life. So that's what preempted the whistleblower. And then the Pentagon comes. As soon as the whistleblower story broke, the Pentagon comes out and they say, to date, and this is their official response, to date, Arrow has not discovered any verifiable information to substantiate claims that any programs regarding the possession or reverse engineering of extraterrestrial materials have existed in the past or exist currently. So there's your official narrative. Combine that with NASA. That is the government narrative. That's the narrative that the Pentagon wants to push, not the one that this whistleblower came out with, not the one that David Grush came out with. That is the narrative that I think they want to bury. So you have dueling narratives. You have to deal with the dueling narratives unless there's some really, really, really sophisticated psyop happening where they want those dueling narratives for some reason.
Dave?
Yeah, I could go in a million different directions here. I think, Tim, what you're saying is logical. The problem with this story bothers me with the inconsistencies of the resume and what we know to be true based on his position. Doug, you want to handle that?
I'm not going to question the guys. I'm not going to question his military background. You know,
say what you said last night, though, about the how his intel description doesn't match his job description.
Well, no, he was intel in the Air Force, and you know that they did a fluff piece on him to make him sound make his integrity look good. And maybe, Tim, after talking to you about it, I've had to eat crow a little bit and change my narrative and think about this. Maybe they, you know, pulled out the stops and said, hey, we need to find buddies of yours that are in the intel sources. And that way they then can say you are also, you know, good to go. You have high integrity, which they did say. You had two other references in the debrief article that said that.
Yeah, but would you do that? Would you give that kind of testimony if you were working for the intel?
And this is what I told Tim. In my prior understanding of how that world works, if you disclose state secrets, and I mean, like, we're not talking about, look, so right now the FBI won't give Congress access to, you know, the whistleblower in Ukraine because they say the Biden family might have him killed. Nobody seems to really care about the fact that a sitting president may assassinate a dude, apparently. But you know, they're more than willing to go that route, but with, and you know, who cares, right? And in all reality, we all know Biden is a criminal, but this, as Tim will go on to tell us, is world changing. This is a world changing news. This is the biggest thing that has hit, you know, modern day, news telling ever. Not just the disclosure of UFOs, but the disclosure and, you know, honestly, not a good rebuttal that there are aliens.
I want to ask Tim a question on this, too. Tim, one of the things I heard that one of the witnesses say was they looked at us. It's interesting there was no interaction beyond that, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, again, if what they're relating actually happened, it sort of smacks of an incident that was intentional. They wanted to be seen. If there's no communication, that's interesting. I mean, I would have expected if there is communication, it probably would have been telepathic, number one. But again, if it really happened the way they said, it seems intentional to me. I doubt that, you know. And by the way, something also that I was thinking about when we were talking is how come this thing lands, 911 gets called. How come nobody saw it take off?
That was a question I had too. Yeah.
Now this is something that people need to understand in regard to UFOs. And I would be more specific and I would say the non-human craft. And I absolutely believe, as everyone knows, I absolutely believe the testimony of Bob Lazar. And Bob Lazar said something very interesting. He saw the craft in operation, the sports model saucer that he was working on at the S4 facility. When he saw the craft in operation, he describes that when the craft is fully energized or energized to a certain degree, it is for all intents and purposes invisible. You can't see it from certain vantage points. And the reason why is because it's bending gravity, it's generating gravity waves, and it's distorting light. And so it's bending light, which gravity does. So you can't see the craft when it's energized. So maybe, of course, this is just spitballing. Maybe the craft, let's say that it was this incident in Vegas, that this craft was this, they were in trouble, some sort of a technological malfunction, and they were not, the craft was not fully energized. And so you saw it land. But when it took off, it was fully energized, and so it would have been practically imperceivable, according to Lazar's testimony. And again, I believe, especially now, I believed it before, but now I think it's ironclad. I believed Lazar's testimony, and I do believe that explains why so many of these craft, people see them and they say it was in the sky and it was blinking lights, it was moving around, and then it disappeared. And a lot of people,
I believe Lazar too, Tim. I totally, because a couple of things about Lazar. One, this didn't help his life. He stood to gain nothing from this. And then secondly, he was working in a classified facility, and the government tried to say he never worked there, and yet they found his name on a phone log.
Exactly right.
Mm-hmm. And I want to make a connection. If it can bend light, let's take a trip back memory lane, Skinwalker Ranch, okay? And let's talk about the 8 to 10 foot tall creatures. He didn't say tall, thin, gray aliens. He didn't say insectoid. He said creatures. So obviously, immediately he's describing, this kid's describing something that is not human. He cannot describe.
Yeah.
So recall the ranch owner, the original ranch owner and his son were dealing with this hippie dude who's like 6'4", who comes out there and says, I just want to meditate out in the field. And originally the father says, no, get out of here. I don't want you to do that. And the son says, oh, come on, let's let him do it. What's the worst that could happen? And he's out there and he's humming to himself and meditating. And all of a sudden, come crashing out of the cottonwood trees is a entity that they said bended light, like the predator alien.
Like the predator, yeah.
And it runs up and screams and roars in a way that is unlike any animal they've ever heard. So if the craft can bend the light and the creatures near the craft were 8 to 10 foot, and in Skinwalker Ranch, there's a creature 8 to 10 foot that can also bend light. And the most common orb that's seen that was documented, because I've exhausted almost all resources on trying to research Skinwalker Ranch. The most common orb that was seen out there is that same color, that blue to green color. So we're seeing a little bit of similarities here.
Right. We should also note that people, and you probably can attest to this, I think people, when they have an experience, even if they witness armed robbery in a store, I think it's often the case that they're not very accurate on how large somebody is.
Exactly.
Sometimes somebody seems looming and dangerous, and so they exaggerate the height. It could have been that these things were 6 to 7 feet tall, 7 to 8 feet tall. I mean, I don't think. And again, they're probably seeing it in silhouette because the craft is very bright behind them. They're probably seeing it in silhouette somewhat. And, you know, insectolins are rather tall. They're 6 to 7, 7.5 feet tall, as described by abductees. So, now, the one thing that threw me for a loop was the large mouth description. But right. In order to see, but if you're standing like on your porch, you're looking in your backyard and you're seeing this, you're having this experience, you're seeing this craft and these entities, details like a mouth and, you know, those kind of details, I don't put a whole lot of stock in those kind of details.
So
unless a person is up close and up close and in a well lit environment. I mean, if you're, again, this is the dead of night.
Well, let me comment
lights.
Let me comment on
behind.
That. Let me comment on that. So when you analyze a witness testimony, you have auditory and visual exclusion. So you get tunnel vision and you only hear the incident that's going on around you. I have gone over hundreds and hundreds of use of force reports from officers, from everything in between, from just a regular detention to someone pulling their guns on people. And everyone has different stories, but you get that tunnel vision and you only focus on what you focus on. And there are times where you pick up the most unique things, unique features, because the adrenaline spikes, the blood pressure is probably in the 150s and up, and that can also deteriorate vision. Not only with that, but like I said, you focus on weird things from my experience. And, you know, they didn't report any type of strange humming sound. They didn't report any sound at all from what I'm gathering so far from the craft. Or details about the craft. So
they're in a state of shock.
Well, and here's the thing. If you're going to be honest with an investigation like this, you have your preliminary investigation. Okay. This is what you saw. All right. And so in about 2 weeks, I'm going to come back and I'm going to ask a little bit more, because in about 2 weeks, your mind's going to unpack a little bit. You're going to think more about this. And I'm going to tell you to start writing down everything that you remember and let's build a profile. And then in about 2 or 3 more weeks, I'll come back and say, okay, let's build another profile. Let's write down a little bit more. Is this still what's going on? Because in murder trials and other types of violent crimes, especially when officers are involved and they have to pull their gun or if they have to kill somebody, we're allowed sometimes months to go by to update a case report, because your memory starts to come back. And you could probably speak about memory recall more, Dave, than I can. But as you start to recall more of your memory, you know, you start to see more of these descriptions that right there on the very, very first part is not there. Like I'll give it to you like this. There have been plenty of different times where we've done investigations on terrorism, and you'll have, you know, 4 or 5 people will call in for an active shooter. And let's say the active shooter that was at the Christmas party that was in California, it's 2 people. It was a man and a woman. Out of the phone calls that happened, the first one was a guy that was built like Brian Urlacher. The second phone call was 3 guys built like Brian Urlacher in black fatigues with military gear. Then the second one was just a man. And then the fourth one was just a woman. And then the 5th phone call was a man and a woman. So the first 4 or 5 phone calls that 911 got were all completely inaccurate. Finally, after like the 6th call, we got the accurate report. So like you said, Tim, these things will change in time as memory recall comes.
Well, there's
about.
Also a lot of confabulation too. Like if you're scared out of your wits, you're looking at something that's got glowing eyes, you could easily confabulate a big mouth with pointy teeth and, you know what I mean? Like something out of a nightmare.
Monsters.
People confabulate all the time, yeah, especially when recalling events.
Typically with memory though, this is kind of a flashbulb memory that they'll never forget. But in flashbulb memories, what we know is details tend to be obscured. And the one thing that was a little inconsistent with that principle was the mouth comment, Tim, that you made.
Hey, we got your audio deteriorating.
There's variability in that, though.
Interesting. Okay, I'll give it back to you.
We're good. Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, that's weird. My microphone just flat cut out and came back on by itself. Well, it's kind of par for the course. At least I'm not sending out text messages anymore to people I don't know. The embellishment is not there with these people. I don't see that at all. But it is interesting that they would jump right to that one minute detail about the mouth. But I will say this. If the mouth was so out of place in the overall depiction of the being, that would make sense. They would be drawn to that because the brain is attracted to things that are novel, things that are unique. So again, I don't see anything here in their testimony, but I will tell you this in my mind, I'm going to play devil's advocate for a minute. The fact that a van's driving around is irrelevant to the event. And the fact that they brought it up meant that the van itself was unique and there was something unusual about what was going on with the van. That's how I would take that. And if you got a van and then you got this lowering craft onto a yard, assumingly they took off, I just wonder if it wasn't a staged event. And let me give you, and I'm just playing devil's advocate, but one day after the revelation by this Air Force intel officer met with a lot of scorn and derision, now you have this come out on the heels. That makes me ask a question.
Well, the story published
right.
The day after, but the event happening in over a month before.
But I'm saying the release of it seems right. to bolster the account from the day before. Because what did Doug and I say when we came on? Yeah, we're deciding on how much crow we're going to eat. Okay. And that could be a purpose of why they released this story now and not before.
Well, what I'd like to do is I'd like to play this 4-minute footage of Grush speaking to the reporter, and let's just analyze this for a second. That way we have some context in this.
When you say crash retrieval, what do you mean?
These are retrieving non-human origin technical vehicles, you know, call it spacecraft if you will. It's probably not the right parlance, but no kidding, non-human, exotic origin vehicles that have either landed or crashed.
We have spacecraft from another species.
We do, yeah.
How many?
Quite a number.
And this is Dabu 7. I'm going to play more video.
Okay, I'll edit the rest of that out. So what I think is interesting is the, once again, words mean things. He didn't come right out and say, we have flying saucers, we have cigar-shaped craft. He said various different types of craft. And this article, I think, is more telling than anything else. Let me pull it up for a second.
Let me make a comment real quick while it's fresh in my mind. First of all, the physicist that I was trying to remember literally just came into my mind. His name, Eric Davis. This physicist briefed Congress on what he had analyzed. So this isn't just some guy coming out of left field. And this story, of course, this came out a few years ago with the Tic Tac UFO story and the other story that journalist Leslie Keene broke regarding the secret UFO program that the Pentagon had running. And what Davis said was that the materials that he looked at were exotic. They couldn't have been fabricated on the Earth. How would a physicist know that? It's very simple. They would find isotopes in the metal that are not derived on planet Earth. They would find the atomic structure of the metal, or who knows, the chemistry of the metal could not have been formed on Earth. There are things that we know exist in outer space that do not exist on planet Earth. So when this guy says exotic, he says non-human exotic origin vehicles. That word exotic is very important, and it's extremely important to the conversation of extraterrestrials, because the big debate in the UFO community is, are these extraterrestrials or are these interdimensionals? It doesn't matter to me. It doesn't matter, because however you slice it, they're extraterrestrial. They're not from planet Earth. If they're from a different dimension, then they're from an entirely different world. But this notion that they're looking at exotic materials, this is, again, very important to a physicist, and it's very important to the conversation, because it informs us that at least some components of these vehicles are not derived on planet Earth. In other words, they come from somewhere else, either in the solar system or the galaxy or the universe at large. They do not come from planet Earth. That word exotic doesn't just mean strange. When you're talking about physics and you're talking about exotic materials such as element 115 that Bob Lazar talked about, we have no stable, we do not have any stable element 115 on the Earth. We have isotopes that are instable that only exist for very brief periods of time. So keep in mind, when we talk about exotic materials, we are talking about, at the very least, extraterrestrial materials.
Tim's explanation is pretty clear. We're going to hold it right here. So this is Dave Hodges signing off.